Welcome back. As the year winds down, many Canadians look forward to Christmas. What does Christmas mean to Muslims living in the West? Do they commemorate the birth of Jesus? Do they celebrate on December 25th? And why would some Muslims choose not to mark the occasion? With me to discuss this topic, Dr. Shabir Ali, President of the Islamic Information Center. Dr. Shabir, what does Christmas mean to Muslims?
Well, many Muslims now living, especially in the West, and interacting with our Christian neighbors, and even in some parts of the Middle East where Muslims do interact with Christians who live in the area, mm-hmm. Muslims are becoming aware that December 25th is often celebrated as the birthday of Jesus, on whom be peace. And because Muslims regard him as a prophet, Muslims also to a certain extent, look forward to this day in some of these contexts that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think Muslims would do as a result?
Well, one thing that comes to the fore for many Muslims on this occasion is that since our Christian friends are paying special attention to their relationship with Jesus, on whom be peace, on this date, then Muslims find it imperative on themselves to share with their Christian friends some aspect of what Muslims believe regarding the Prophet Jesus. And on this show, I'd like to say something about that.
All right, so tell mm-hmm. us about Jesus then.
Yes, what many Muslims want to convey to their Christian friends on occasions such as this is that we believe in Jesus as Muslims, and if we stop believing in Jesus, we would cease to be Muslims, mm-hmm. because the Quran, which we regard to be the book of God, a word of God revealed for our guidance for all time, emphasizes belief in Jesus. His name is mentioned 25 times in the Quran, and there are two chapters of the Quran which detail the story of his miraculous birth, chapter 3 and chapter 19 of the Quran. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is spoken about with high regard in the Quran. She's shown to be a woman specially chosen by God. And Jesus, on whom be peace, is said to be close to God. He is said to be God's servant and messenger, the Messiah, and that God enabled him to perform many miraculous deeds. He healed the blind, cured the leper, and raised the dead. The Quran indicates also that God rescued him and raised him to himself. And there is a passage in the Quran which leads Muslims to think, or some Muslims have interpreted it to mean, that Jesus will come back to earth a second time before the end of all time. And so Muslims must believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if one were to cease believing in Jesus, one would cease to be a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. It's not just the belief in Jesus, but many Muslims respect and revere Jesus as well.
Yes. And this is one of the surprising things about the study of Islam. When one looks at the world's religions in general, one sees that outside of Christianity, there's hardly any mention of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in another religion where there is some mention of Jesus, he is often mentioned in a disparaging manner. But it is surprising for many of our Christian friends to find that the Quran says nothing negative about Jesus. Now, to be sure, it is true that Muslims do not, as our Christian friends do, accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because Muslims have different underlying concepts about these two aspects of mm-hmm. belief. But there's nothing that within the Muslim ambit of thought, there is nothing negative about Jesus. As for the idea that Jesus is our Lord, for Muslims there is only one Lord God, and that is the one who is called Jehovah in the Old Testament, or whom Christians refer to when they say the Lord and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that one that is referred to as the God and Father, to Muslims, he is the only God. So in Muslims not accepting that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, Muslims are not denying anything essential to the biblical Quranic faith. The second item here is the idea of Jesus being our personal Savior. Muslims believe that in general, all of the prophets of God brought the saving message from God. So if we rally to God's message delivered through his prophets, that is the way in which we are saved. It's not that a particular prophet saves us in a different way than the other prophets do. And so Jesus, too, in this general sense, is a savior in that he brings the saving message from God. But the idea that Jesus died for our sins, this is not accepted by Muslims. But again, no disrespect is meant here with reference to Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's no denial of his great work of bringing the message from God. It's just a different concept that says that, well, nobody dies for anybody else's sins. God forgives our sins. Without requiring that the price be paid by anyone. So, in short, Muslims revere and respect both Jesus and his mother. And as they interact with their Christian friends who are celebrating Christmas, they would want to get this message across to their friends.
How would Muslims celebrate and show their admiration and respect for Jesus?
To me, the most important way of showing our admiration and respect, not only for Jesus, but all of the great prophets, including our Prophet Muhammad, on whom be peace, is to follow their teachings. And to a certain extent, Muslims do follow the teachings of all of the great prophets. We follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, directly. But by doing so, we indirectly follow the principles and teachings
of the
mm-hmm. whole line. Mm-hmm. Because there are certain things which the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said are the teachings of the great prophets and their practices. And this is sometimes seen in very little ways, but important ways. For example, when Muslims circumcise their male children, to this day, they are following the teachings of Abraham, who received the covenant of circumcision, and also of Jesus, because it is mentioned in Luke's gospel that Jesus was also circumcised on the eighth day. Muslims generally pray with their faces to the ground. And this is known, too, from both Abraham and Jesus. And in the book of Genesis, in chapter 15, Abraham fell on his face and prayed. And in the Gospel according to Matthew, in chapter 26, verse number 39, it is mentioned that Jesus fell on his face in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed. So Muslims, by falling on their faces to pray, to this day, are following the teachings of all of these great prophets. And to me, this is the most important way in which we should follow the great prophets.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that Christmas has historically been seen as foreign to Islam. And yet, there may be some Muslims who are interested in celebrating the holiday. What do you think of that idea? Do you think Muslims should celebrate? Should they stay away? Should they celebrate some aspects and not others? What do you think?
Well, historically, it has not come down to us as a Muslim celebration. Muslims even dispute with each other as to whether or not it would be possible to celebrate, whether it would be right to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon mm-hmm. him, because he didn't celebrate his own birthday, and neither did his companions and Muslims for some centuries, until eventually some Muslims began to practice this, and this has become widespread in many parts of the world. As for the birthday of the other prophets, this has not come down in Muslim tradition as a Muslim practice to celebrate their birthdays. A particular problem arises with the great prophets of the past in that we do not know the actual dates of their death, of their births, rather. In the case of Jesus, on whom be peace, December 25th is not actually thought to be his birth date.
Was it just selected as his
birthday? This came down through a long history. In ancient times, some people used the change of the length of the day as a marker of the battle between the forces of darkness and light. December 21st, which marked the winter solstice, was thought to be a time when the forces of light would finally now be victorious. And that was chosen as a day of celebration in the Greco-Roman world. And when Christianity spread in that region, some thought it wise, rather than to, you know, the old adage, if you can't beat them, join them. So some people started to celebrate this as a Christian holiday. And through a shift in the calendar, it became December 25th, and that becomes now the widespread celebration of the birth of Jesus. But his actual date of birth is not known history. So that marks a particular problem for anyone who wants to celebrate that birthday. But I believe that the more important thing is to recognize that often when people pick that date to celebrate, they forget the man behind the season, or the reason for the season.
They get excited about the celebration.
Exactly.
Itself.
This excitement is about the celebration itself. The celebration takes on a life of its own. And people forget Jesus and his teachings. And it is more important to remember him and the teachings that he stood for and to live by those teachings than to pick out a particular date and say, let's celebrate that as a birthday.
All right. So any last comments on what you think Muslims should do on that day?
Well, on that day, obviously, they will recognize that their Christian friends are busy with celebrations. Whatever they can do to be in harmony with their friends and their relatives and co-workers and classmates and so on. All of these are Islamic things that Muslims should do. And some ask, can we say, Merry Christmas to somebody who is celebrating Christmas? And the answer is, yeah, why not? Some say, well, that means you are somehow aiding and abetting their worship of Jesus. And that's not really true, because whoever worships Jesus will worship him anyway, whether you say Merry Christmas or not. Your expression of goodwill and cheerfulness and good spirit on that occasion is just the Muslim thing to do. But doing that may actually open up the possibility and open up communications so that you could actually convey to your Christian friends what Muslims believe about Jesus.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Thank you for your time, Brother Shabir.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break, and when we return, we will answer questions we receive from you, our viewers.